Let's open the Word of God at Paul's Epistle to the Philippians in chapter 2. I have a confession to make. I'm responsible for the theme of the name. I had a desire to preach on the name. That's quite constant. We preach on the name quite a bit, but tonight we're looking at it very carefully and powerfully, I trust. And I take responsibility for the music and all. But it's a wonderful theme, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Philippians chapter 2, please turn with me to chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5, and I'll read through to verse 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's a blessing to honour the name this evening. Thank you. The name is very significant. We all have names. Actually, I've been responsible for enjoying a little bit of humour in connection with some names. I noticed that in the realm of motor racing, a famous car racer is named Jamie Wincup. Well, I guess that's why he's there. And there's another one whose name is Will Power. And in the world of tennis, of course, we've got Margaret Court. And there's a new one. Her name is Arina Rodionov. And when we go to the realm of swimming, we tune into Emily Seebohm. And then in athletics, the sprinting, there's Usain Bolt. And in politics, there's a man called Peter Wish Wilson. He's one of the Greens, so that's appropriate. And the mission, this is the best of them all, the missionary, Jonathan Goforth. He was a sitter, wasn't he? Well, he went forth, and God blessed his ministry. Isn't it wonderful? But tonight we're talking about the name, or I am, the name. We all have names. Just about everybody in the world has a name. Some have nicknames. When I was in the army, I had a number. Well, actually, I had two numbers. I had one number for 2 years, and I had to change regiments, and then I had another number for 5 years. I realised the passage of time when I had to think hard to remember those numbers. Quite honestly, I can only remember one of them now. 2/... I just lost. 166, 1998. Right. But having a number didn't eliminate my name, I'm thankful. In the days to come, most people in this world will have a number. I trust that no one here receives the number of the name of the beast. It's ominous. But we're not talking about your name or my name or nicknames, or we're talking about the name. Capital T, capital H, capital E. The name. What is the name? Well, I suppose one would say the name of God. That's true in a sense, but nevertheless, there is another name, a name which God the Father has exalted. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, that's the name. The name. of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful name. So often we sing, and there are some left over after we finish tonight, but to the name of our salvation, Lord and honour, let us pay. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Glory to his name. Wonderful hymns about the name that we honour. Geoffrey Bull, who was a great missionary, he says, the Bible is the book of the name and the names of God and the names of men. As far as God and his word are concerned, all is set forth in a name. There are almost 3,000 proper names in the Bible, and each one has its own significance. Yet above them all towers the matchless name, forever exalted, forever unexcelled, the name of Jesus. Wonderful name. The name of Jesus is so sweet. There's another song, another hymn. But that name contains so much. That name gathers up all his titles and points to his glorious person and his wonderful work for sinners. From one end of the Bible to the other, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. He is so infinitely perfect, so lovely, so superlatively beautiful in all his virtues, attributes, and graces. They cannot be expressed in human language. The Holy Spirit calls into use every possible title to apply to our Lord and Saviour. He applies hundreds of titles and figures to illustrate his glory. Son of God, Son of Man, Second Man, Last Adam, the only begotten of the Father, the firstborn from the dead, the King of Kings, the Captain of our salvation, the Head of the Church, the Messiah of Israel, the King of the Jews, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Lamb of God, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Chief Cornerstone, Rock of Ages, Head of the Corner, Foundation Stone, Son of Righteousness, Bright and Morning Star, the Tree of Life, Prophet, Priest and King, the Angel of the Lord, Angel of the Covenant, Bread of Life, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, the Door, the Water of Life, the Word of God. Hey, there's no stopping. It goes on. All the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Yea, he is altogether lovely. He's the one. He's the one. Now, those are a few of his titles. But we're talking about his name. Of course, they harmonize, they link together, don't they? And I've set up 7 benefits and blessings of his name, the name of Jesus Christ. You have them on your outline. That name. This is foundational to our ministry. We must exalt his name because we need to exalt him always. I'm going to take 7 points, and the first one is the name of salvation. In that hymn, to the name of our salvation, Lord and honour, let us pay, which to many a generation hid in God's foreknowledge lay. It's one of my very favourite hymns. And the aspect of it that I find most impressive is that it's anonymous. It was written by a man, but he couldn't put his name, could you? Alongside that name, that wonderful name. It would be ridiculous to put the name of a man. To the name of our salvation, salvation's of the Lord, yes. Now in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21, it's a wonderful verse, talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus and the angel. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. the last clause there interprets the name. Jesus means God saves. We have it from the Hebrew, Yahshua, which comes into English as Joshua. And the Greek name is Jesus, once again, which transliterates to Jesus. Jesus, God saves, that's what it means. What a wonderful name. God saves from sin. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. I have a timely illustration. For about 14 years, I received regular correspondence from a brother in Christ. He went home to be with the Lord some long time ago. We're about the same age, but he left me when he was 49, went home to be with the Lord. But we had a sweet fellowship, and every time I'd receive a letter from him, "Dear Brian," or "Dear Brother Brian, warm, sincere, great greetings in our Saviour's worthy name." Every letter. Yes, his name was Gilbert Cassidy. Some of you may have known him, but back a while. But anyway, that's an immediate way to point to Christ. There's salvation in the name, and I found good fellowship in the name. Daniel Webster was a godly American statesman and orator. And one time he spent a summer in New Hampshire. And every Lord's Day, he went to a little country church morning and evening. His niece thought it was a bit out of place, and she said, "Uncle, why do you always go to that little church and yet you pay far less attention to the more able sermons and preachers in Washington?" He said, "In Washington, they preach to Daniel Webster the statesman. But this preacher has been telling Daniel Webster the sinner of Jesus of Nazareth." He's got his values right, or he did, didn't he? "To the name of our salvation, Lord, and honour, let us pay." And that man had the message in his heart. There is a name which is above every name, the name of salvation. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." None other name. It's the only one. That's Acts 4:12. So, the name of salvation. Number two, the name of pardon. In Acts chapter 10. 22 is my marker. Acts chapter 10. Verse 43, "To him," and of course, in the context, it means the Lord Jesus Christ, "to him give all the prophets witness." That's a magnificent statement, isn't it? It has been said that the Bible is the picture album of the Son of God. And this verse highlights that. "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Yes. Note, through his name. Why all this talk about his name? God values names. God said of King Solomon, "He shall build an house for my name." And that was the purpose of the temple of Jerusalem, beautifully built in those days by King Solomon. The temple was for the name of God. But the temple was also for God's presence and for God's dwelling among his people. So, name means more than just a name. And likewise with the name of the Lord Jesus. And each of those titles and many others indicate an office that he fulfilled or a ministry that he performs. Now, if we're sick, we call one whose name is physician or doctor. If our teeth need attention, we call someone who's called a dentist. If the car needs fixing, we call a mechanic. And the title or name indicates a work which that person can do. Hence, Smith. That was a man who was a tradesman, and he worked with red-hot, white-hot iron, the smith. We think of it mostly with the blacksmith, because he made the horseshoes and attached them. But the smith was someone who worked in hot iron, very hot. And then, of course, there was the fuller who made cloth very, very white and bright. And there was a skinner. I don't need to explain what his occupation was. And there was the carter. These are all names that we're dealing with day by day. Carter. And, of course, miller. We have some millers in our fellowship, Coffs Harbour now, but the miller was the man who ran the flour mill. He was the miller, so they called him Mr. Miller. See, there's more in names than you realise. And so with Saviour, he saves. Straightforward, isn't it? And as we travel the road of life and realise that we need to be saved from our sins and from its penalty, we commit our cause and our case to him. We find the wonderful one whose name is Saviour. He does the saving. We prove that we believe in his name when we take advantage of the name or title. We take him as our own. We call upon him to be our Saviour. Jesus, save me. Lord, I receive you now as my Saviour. Have you done that? There'll be opportunity tonight if you'd like to. We'd be very pleased to help you take that step. Jesus, save me. I did that a long time ago. Now, we're talking about the name of pardon. Pardon or forgiveness is available through his name. And there in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, as I shared before, to him, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. How sweet we find the name of forgiveness and pardon. I've dwelt from time to time on the life and testimony of John Newton. He's well known. I hope you know of him. He wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace. He was a sailor. He was also a ship's captain. They were rough days. And he was surrounded by hard men. And he was one of them. But he was a hard, swearing, foul-mouthed, blaspheming ship's captain. And to cap it all, he was working in the slave trade. What a ghastly trade. Playing with the lives of others. What a scoreboard of sin. No wonder when he was gloriously saved, it's no wonder he wrote those words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And he meant it. He sang the grace of salvation. But also the name of pardon. He wrote this one. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. He wrote that one too. Beautiful, isn't it? How else but by the forgiveness of sin, the name of pardon. So number three, the name of life. And for this we go to John chapter 20, verse 31. And I have to make another confession to a typographical error. It's John chapter 20, verse 31. Not 21. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Life through his name. This is the key verse of John's Gospel. Make a note of that in your Bible study. You know, there are three beautiful intertwining elements in the Gospel of John. It's wonderful to sit down and to just pick them out as you go. There is life, love, and light. That was a blessing to me to discover that, and I've gone through and I picked them out. Life, love, and light throughout John's Gospel. That's an exercise for you. It'll bring you nearer to the Lord too. Yes, but anyway, this particular verse talks about life. In his name is life. Now let us see that there's something more that a name covers. When you or I sign a cheque, our name is only as good as the amount in the ledger. Mightn't be very much there, eh? But supposing I were in another city and I presented a cheque for cash, they would say, "There's no money here on your account." I would say, "But I'm a friend of so-and-so who does have an account here." And the bank rings my friend and he vouches for me. As a matter of fact, I had this done for me several times when churches where I preached gave me an honorarium. In fact, you know, I preached 17 times in Northern Ireland. I enjoyed it all. And the church would give me a gift in a check. What could I do with a check over there? I had to take Pastor John Douglas with me. And I guess the stress was on his account. But anyway, it was a blessing to be there. But listen, his name was under scrutiny, and so with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Just as that man's name and reputation were under scrutiny, so we look at the character and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we speak of his name, we're speaking of his nature. And so now we're talking about the name of life. We have these biblical expressions, Christ, who is our life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life." That's powerful, isn't it? "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Beautiful. Because he is life, we have life through his name. John 20, verse 31, "But these are written." "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Now, there's a story, beautiful story. Forgive me for telling it to you again. I've used this story in many places. A man by the name of Wilson Barrett wrote a book, The Sign of the Cross. And in that book, there's a biographical note on a young lady. Now, it so happened that the prefect of Rome, this is back in the days when the Christians were under persecution from the Roman Empire. Many gave their lives as martyrs for knowing and loving Jesus Christ. Anyway, this prefect of Rome, who'd be the senior magistrate of Rome, his name was Marcus Superbus. And a Christian young woman was brought before him one day. She must have been caught worshipping or witnessing. She was brought before the magistrate. "What is thy name, girl?" said the magistrate. She said, "Mercia." She said it sweet and low. The magistrate was taken aback. He said, "Mercia?" He was impressed. He thought that he'd never heard such tender music as that sound as she gave her name. "Mercia," he murmured softly to himself, "Mercia," trying unconsciously to reproduce the music of the sound that he'd just heard. Mercia, what a lovely name. Finally, you know, that name led him on to another name, and this man got saved. Beautiful story, isn't it? Yes, even the name of Jesus Christ came into it, because Mercia led to Jesus Christ, in the names anyway. Mercia and her name reflected the nature of the name, the name, and hence the person of the greater name, the name of life. Now, there's a sequel to this, because back in about 1996, I preached in India. I've done that many times, but I was preaching at the Parsupara Baptist Church, Independent Baptist Church, up in the tea plantations of India, of Kerala, the southernmost state. And I used this illustration. I don't know whether it was in a sermon on the name, but it had a link. And the pastor, that particular day, his wife was not there because she was about due to give birth to their second or third child, and she would have had to come up the hills in the bus, and it wasn't right, so she stayed home. She didn't hear this, but Pastor Baby Thomas, whom we supported here, from here, many years, he was impressed with the name Mercia. So when the baby was born, you know what, it was a girl, so that's Mercia. And my wife and I have seen her a few times since, beautiful girl. She's 21 now. She got the name Mercia. Well, it leads to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see mercy in it, can't you? Okay, point number four, the name of healing. And for this we go to Acts chapter 3, verse 16. Acts chapter 3, verse 16. And his name, this is good, Acts 3:16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This is the man who was lame, and the power of God healed him. Now, I'm not going to say anything controversial about healing, no need to. But we know that God heals, that's why we pray every week for those not well, and in our services. God heals. And all true healing is from God because he's the creator, isn't he? Right. And the sustainer. And God heals in answer to the prayers of the saints. That's good. Wonderful. But this verse and topic allows us to say three or four things. First of all, these men were not arrested, Peter and John, they were not arrested because they healed a man, but because they used the name of healing. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their offence. In Acts chapter 4, verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. That's where they made the mistake. Well, it wasn't a mistake, but that's where they went wrong in the eyes of the locals. They were preaching the gospel. Next, note that God granted miracles and wonders as signs to the unbelieving Jews. The Jews require a sign, and God gave the Jews signs. Miraculous healings were among such signs in those days. He's not obliged to provide such signs today, no signs today. In fact, Jesus says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. But thirdly, note that all the miracles of Jesus prior to this signified some spiritual truth. For instance, he healed leprosy. Well, leprosy is a type or figure of sin, and so he was forgiving sin in that action. Healing blindness, causing a person to be able to see spiritually. We need, except a man be born again, he cannot see and understand the kingdom of God. The healing of lame legs, overcoming the inability to walk with God. Healing the withered arm, overcoming the inability to work with God and for God. Raising the dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We're resurrected. We're alive spiritually for eternity in Christ. And what about this man who was healed by Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful? Through the name of healing. And chapter 3, verse 7, I think it is. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. God did the healing. And the man was able to walk. In the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Powerful name. Power of God. And likewise, you can be healed of an inability to walk with the Lord. Are you all walking with the Lord? If you're not walking with the Lord, we'll help you to start and take your first step in through salvation. Are some crippled through slackness, or disobedience, or rebellion, backslidden? That'll interfere with your walk with God, won't it? You know, there's a good test to see whether you're spiritually on top or not. It's how easily you can speak the name of Jesus Christ in your normal conversations, even among the lost. Find it hard? Well, maybe because you've got a spiritually low temperature. So let's work on it. Pray much. Jesus Christ is the name of healing. Number five, the name of access. This, of course, means access to the heart of God. Entry into the Holy of Holies. In John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, John 14, 13 and 14, Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." There's an emphasis on the name, isn't there? His name. It's wonderful. To communicate with the heart of God, we must, of course, depend on someone other than ourselves. That someone is Jesus Christ. Because of the foundation laid through his death and the shedding of his blood, we have access through his name. That means all that he is and all that he's done, and this is the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to scriptures, and he was seen by many faithful witnesses. That's the basis of it all. And through that we all have access to this powerful name. And that means all that he is and all that he has done. He is our access. He is our great high priest. Through the Lord Jesus Christ we have fellowship with the Father. Wonderful. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Wonderful chapter, Hebrews chapter 4. Well, of course, they're all wonderful, aren't they? Verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Wonderful verse. That's the, come follows the introduction to our great high priest. In the name of Jesus Christ, we may come boldly in prayer. We have fellowship with God. You know, in India, I've got a few Hindu friends. And I say to them, "You have a religion, I have a relationship." I love saying that. It's beautiful, isn't it? Yes, we have fellowship with God. We have ground on which to make our requests. We have access to the throne of grace now and access to the throne of glory later. Wonderful name of access. His name is wonderful. I may have shared once also the experience of a man called Dr. Clifton Howard. He was the chairman of a World Peace Commission. He attended a conference on limits and armaments. One high commissioner had a turban. He was a Muslim, a Mohammedan nobleman, and he had a string of beads. And he'd have them in his hand, he'd push one bead, another bead, and push another bead. I think you know the way a rosary works. Left, right, his lips were moving. Later on, in a break time, Dr. Howard was able to say, "What's the significance of your string of beads?" He said, "That's not a string, but a golden cord that binds my soul to Allah." "And the beads," said the man, "these are not beads, but gems of glory, jewels of joy, pearls of paradise. This is my rosary. Each of these gems, jewels, pearls, 99 in all, is a name of Allah, the God of the Mohammedans, the God of the Quran. And I have a better speaking acquaintance with Allah than you have with your God. I said, actually, with your Christ. I know my God by his full name, and I challenge you to match my rosary." Well, I've been sharing many of his names even tonight, haven't I? But this man, Dr. Clifton Howard, he said he was belittled. He felt belittled and shamed by the challenge. How are we communicating with the true God? The true God. And, well, of course, we know that what the other man had was trash, but it was a challenge to a Christian man. How well do you know God? And so this man responded by researching the names and titles of Christ. He found 208. I've seen a list of 218. I did see in a book one time claiming more than one title for every day of the year, but I haven't had that verified yet, but 218 at least, names and titles of Jesus Christ. So that Mohammedan's rosary is not worth anything. But I fear that he's right about our own acquaintance with the living God and our fellowship with him. Is it in order? How are you going? Wonderful name of access. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Number six, the name of power. We could spend all our time on this one. This is a power we need. Power for victory. Power over the enemy. For this, it's Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 18 and 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, that would be a demon, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Well, she had something right, didn't she? And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. See, it is the power of God at work over the power of the enemy. Now, this is a classic case of true exorcism. Now, careful of the word exorcism. It's not a Bible word. Don't use it. But again, I'm not going to say anything controversial. I don't recommend that anybody enters into this kind of realm without considerable help and guidance, and you put on the whole armour of God, which is available. And if anyone's being troubled, then let's get together on the problem. We've done a fair bit of this. But what we see here is that the enemy of God, Satan or his demons, obeys man when man stands on the prepared ground, powerful ground. And of course it's expressed through the name of Jesus Christ. Behind that command was the mighty power of Jesus Christ available through his blood and resurrection and all the points of the gospel. It's all there. You know, we stand on perfect ground when we stand on the gospel, and it's all manifested through his name. The devil and his demons must obey because of the power of his name. Well, can we sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Particularly black angels are subject. They've got to disappear. They've got to go. Jesus, the name, high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. The mighty name of power. Claim it and use it. Number seven, the name of honour. The name of exaltation, if you like. The name of Jesus Christ is honoured on high. It's honoured in heaven. Do you honour him here on earth? In Philippians 2, 9 to 11, where we started, verse 9. Yes, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How do you regard this name? Do you treasure this name? Do you honour this name? There was a radiant Christian man who was a true believer, and he was always enterprising in his witnessing. And he was in the world's company one day. Well, probably every day, Most of us, if not all of us, know what that's like. But he was noted for his testimony, his joy and fervour. And one gentleman in the company was decorating his conversation quite a bit. It wasn't the crude Australian coarse profanity that I heard in the army and on construction sites. It was much more refined, but it was equally objectionable. Anyway, well, this man, he freely used the name of the devil and the name of deuce and so on, together with other expletives. And eventually it had to happen, yes. He gave an oath in the name of Jesus Christ. The Christian, who had considerable standing in that group, he said, "Stop, stop, sir. I said nothing when you only used freedom with the names of your own gods and masters, but I insist that you shall take no freedom with the name of my God and my master, Jesus Christ, because his is a name to honour." And his testimony went way up. Took a stand against the men of the devil. You see, the name of Jesus Christ is the name to honour. It's the name of salvation. It's the name of pardon. It's the name of life. It's the name of healing. It's the name of access. It's the name of power and honour. And how we handle his name is an indicator of where we are with him. What part of your life does he manifest in the whole of your life? Is your life a testimony of him? Do you share his name, wonderful name of Jesus Christ? Now, if you don't know him as Saviour, tonight is a wonderful opportunity for you to trust him, call upon him, to make him yours through his name, wonderful name, the name of salvation. You need to be saved, perhaps. Perhaps there is someone here who needs to be saved. Tonight is the night. You're confronted again with the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved through his name. Please take opportunity. You know someone here who can help you or can point you to someone who can. Let's do it tonight. You need to. We don't know what tomorrow holds forth. Do it now. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour. I pray that you will. Amen.